Thank you for picking my session over Jason's, but we took a picture together yesterday just to be like, yeah. And so he promised me this isn't his, but I have no way to prove it. So someone on Twitter told me if he put the photo in his thing too. That was really fun. All right, so is it echoing? Should I back up? Okay. Am I good? Oh, okay, so today we're going to talk about, in half an hour, how to develop a paid social media strategy. So that's going to be a little daunting, but we're going to try. And so what I did today was sort of outline from scratch, from the ground up, how you in your organization can implement a social media strategy that also educates your colleagues and hopefully delivers results. So this is what we're going to cover today. So how social media fits into the larger journey. And I know a couple people here have seen me present before, and I always present the journey because it's very, very important for all of our marketing efforts. So we'll go over that first. Then we're going to talk about the details of structuring your plan and kind of a step-by-step checklist of things that you should be thinking through strategically for your organization. I also put some tips for working with an agency. So who here works with an external agency to manage all social media advertising? Okay, so a couple of you. So that's great, but I think what's really, really important is that you internally have a solid understanding of all the different elements that go into the plan and the campaigns. Because a lot of times you'll be actually advising and educating your agency on some of kind of your own institution's quirks, if you will. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then just end with some guiding principles. All right, so first, the higher ed decision journey. So people should be familiar with the traditional sales funnel. But in higher education, we are so lucky to take in people who are leads and then engage with them until they die, right? Until they're alumni and their lifelong engagement with the college. So it's important to think about from a social media perspective how social media supports every step along this journey. So from becoming aware of the college to considering, so inquiring, filling out a form, hopefully, maybe applying, or for alumni circumstances, maybe engaging in some way via giving or volunteering, and that drives you into buying. And then the kind of lifelong enjoyment and having loyalty to your institution. So where social media comes in is everywhere. So that makes our jobs really fun and a little bit overwhelming. However, what I think is really, really important from an organic standpoint, when we think about our social paid social plans, really organic drives this becoming aware, advocate, enjoyment, and hopefully you're constantly re-engaging your alumni. Maybe students are coming back for a second degree. So how are our social media efforts really fueling that loyalty loop? So that's something really important to think through as you're thinking through paid as well. So we at the college developed this journey and then also tied KPIs to it. It's very overwhelming. Don't read this, but we'll have the presentation after for you to look at. It's a little outdated, actually, so it's time for us to update it. But really what's important is, you know, each stepping objective and tying all those KPIs directly to that overarching objective. So as we think about how it pertains to social media, we think about reach, you know, shared URLs via Google Analytics data. We talk about conversions. And then are we targeting efforts that can support the whole aspect of the journey via social media channels? So what's really important, the point here, is to find your objective, tie your KPIs to the objective, and just bring social media to the table as part of larger marketing conversations. Because as all of our different marketing efforts are supporting the journey, social media plays a key part, especially now. Okay, so structuring your plan. Also, I'm like such a nerd, and I love funny little memes, so you'll see them peppered throughout. But this is particularly one of my favorite ones. We'll dive right in. So step one, goals. Of course, set your goals. Make them measurable. They have to be measurable. And really kind of think about exactly how you're going to be tying the dollar to the results. And I think what's interesting about social media, I think because the dollars tend to be smaller, we're actually held very, very accountable for those dollars. So really from day one, think about exactly how you're measuring and how you're defining your cost per lead or whatever your engagement metric ends up being. And I think what's really important, too, again, is fitting it into the larger mix. So, you know, if you are working with your graduate programs to include social media as part of those marketing campaigns, what does their email communication strategy look like? Are they retargeting the same leads that you're going to end up retargeting on Facebook? What is the messaging? All that kind of stuff. So that should be really part of the conversation from planning from day one. And then with each kind of thinking about each goal, exactly how you're measuring each piece. So, and we'll dive into that even more. Defining success, again, KPIs aligning to goals. There's so much data provided to us now with social that you're actually spending a lot of time as a social media lead weeding through the clutter and not getting distracted by the extra clutter. And again, thinking about exactly what is the return on some of those dollars that you're spending. So, you know, make sure that you're defining success. The second thing I want to talk about in this particular section is always on. So always on, I struggle with sometimes, and I totally get it from the platform perspective. So the idea that you are actually consistently paying regularly, maybe for your 3 months admission cycle leading up to a deadline, they're always consistently having some sort of advertising present across your platforms, and that's great. That costs a lot, but I understand from the idea of regularly building up that engagement and regularly building up that reputation in order to kind of drive some sort of lead. So what I've one school of thought is to make sure that you have some sort of awareness driving social campaign across all your channels all the time. Be smart about your dollars, but it does make an impact in the long run, and especially when it comes to continually driving new leads or driving engagement. My least favorite phrase, unless we really define success, is, oh, the ads are doing really well. Make sure that it's your entire team, everyone, whether it's the marketing directors, your VP, if you're saying ads are doing really well, they actually know why. So they know it's oh, what does well mean? Oh, people liked it, okay. But if your goal is actually lead gen, then you better say, ads are doing really well because we got 30 leads yesterday from this particular ad. So make sure that everyone consistently in your team, especially, knows what that phrase means and is on the same page. So when you're continually optimizing and evaluating, you know what that means. Okay, step three, define your audience. This is actually, I think, takes the most time, especially with social channels being so much more robust in terms of their targeting. But you have to really think, how is the audience, the specific audience that you're reaching, tie back to that objective, that initial objective? So for example, you can use the platform to find your right audience when it comes to awareness. So maybe you're looking for someone who's interested in a master's in digital marketing we talked about yesterday. What is their undergrad criteria look like? Where are they at in their careers? You have access to all that data, but you have to spend a lot of time really looking at all those different demographic criteria, so you're making sure it's the right person. Now, the platforms will tell you, don't target too much. Of course not, because they want you to spend a lot of money. But I think, especially for higher education, we need to be really smart about who we're targeting. One of my favorite things is when our dean of our graduate school, he used to send me like screenshots of ads from Facebook he would see. Oh, look, Columbia Business School's targeting me. I'm sorry if anyone's from Columbia. Look at their ads on Facebook. They're so good. I'm like, did you get your MBA? He's like, yeah. Like, so they're targeting you? I mean, you got your MBA. Like, so is this the right strategy? You think this is good use of their dollar? So I think really spending a good amount of time to make sure it's the right person as much as possible using the demographics that are available to you. Other pieces that we think about, and every institution is different, but for us, we like to suppress alumni from particular types of campaigns. If it's something like a general MBA, maybe we let them, let alumni potentially see the ad and just suppress like a graduate degree. But we try to be really mindful about how much our alumni are seeing us in the market and making sure it's the right thing. If it's an awareness driving campaign, who is Babson? I prefer alumni not necessarily see that unless there is some sort of call to action for them to engage with it from an advocacy standpoint. So we try to be mindful about how much our alumni are actually seeing out there in social networks and making sure it's the right thing for them. Suppressing similar degree, great. Okay, next, setting up your pixels. So this is really, really important, I think, from day one for your long-term strategy. You don't have to use those, you shouldn't be using those pixels yet because it's going to take a long time to build that up. But become friends with your developers, make sure your LinkedIn, Facebook pixels are across your channels, across your website properties, and start to build up that data so you can use that later on. So if you already have that set up, the idea that you can set up custom audiences in these platforms now, and LinkedIn is introducing it soon, if not yet. I don't think I have it yet, but they are. And so you're building up a custom audience based on a user's behavior on your site, and then we're targeting them appropriately. So one strategy could be, anyone who visited your finance major, or anyone who visited your law degree page, they might not have inquired yet, so they might be a self-inquiry. So why not serve up some sort of related content to them specifically on these social channels? So for example, you have a prospective student, law event. How perfect to target that advertising opportunity to people who might have visited the webpage. And even more so, maybe tailoring an inquiry, like request information approach to those people who might have already raised their hand, like shy, like, I like your school, but they actually didn't, give us their information. Well, let's continually engage them, and this is a fantastic way to do so. And if we keep it relevant, I know yesterday we talked about like relevancy and resonance, and I think that resonance piece is perfect in this scenario. Making sure that you can help and be useful to these prospective students as they're kind of thinking about raising their hand further and giving us their information. Next, use existing lists. That's like a no-brainer. Hopefully, anyone who's doing social media advertising is doing that now. But the fact that you can just upload your lists into one of the platforms and target them directly. I mean, so this feels like so low-hanging fruit, but it was such a win when we were able to take some of the lists that they were using for email marketing for one of our graduate programs and say, we have the lists, let's upload them to Facebook. And it's so simple, but it's so effective. And again, if you're thinking about the larger marketing mix around how you're tailoring your email strategies and your social media strategies so they fit together, it's a perfect way to do so. Especially for like data you own. I mean, at that point, you own it, it's yours. And the ability to create custom audiences and lookalike audiences via lists and the pixels is the best way, from the beginning when we talk about finding the right audience. Not everyone's profiles, mine's not like up to date. I mean, not everyone's profiles really reflect all the data that we want to use in order to best target the audience. So being able to use a lookalike audiences is a really effective and helpful tool. So maybe upload the list, find lookalike, create a lookalike audience based on that. And so that is implemented across pretty much every platform at this point. Okay, so which one do you want to use? For this, think about where your audience is. So I'm at a business school. Every single one of our undergraduate students has a LinkedIn profile. Every single one of our graduate students has a LinkedIn profile. It is just who our culture is. So for us, LinkedIn is incredibly important. And we know that that's where our perspective, across the board, even executive education programs, they're all on LinkedIn. So we actually make that a priority. We do see, LinkedIn does cost more than Facebook in general. And Facebook does drive some really good leads and really good engagement, but we know the quality on LinkedIn is better for us. So that's where we sort of prioritize it based on our own audiences. And this, when we talk about relationships with your agency, from an organic standpoint, this is where you also provide so much value. You're seeing where your alumni, your advocates are engaging the most, like which platforms they're really engaging on, and they're, commenting and liking and sharing, all that organic stuff will help dictate your paid strategy. You're able to say, for us on LinkedIn, we see a phenomenal engagement, phenomenal reach. Again, that follows up with the idea of, our audiences are on there. So use that organic experience that you have to really, make a case for some of the paid social strategies. And then, of course, where you're prioritizing. In an ideal world, you are using multiple platforms, and you're trying really hard, and this is one of the hardest parts, to make sure that's an integrated experience, and a user's not necessarily seeing the same exact type of ads across the platforms, But perhaps on LinkedIn you're providing a little bit different content than you are with Facebook. Don't just replicate. Don't just say, oh, this copy works on both, so it works on Facebook, so let's throw it on LinkedIn. Because actually it's really, really important to think about that messaging and how you should maybe tailor a little bit differently. So maybe something on Facebook might be around like their holistic outcomes experience. You know, I got a job and I live a happy life, versus, you know, on LinkedIn it's around actual data to support that. So just be creative about tailoring. And the call to action can be the same, but in terms of the messaging, just to fit the platform better. Okay, so just a quick list of ad types. So for LinkedIn, we have sponsored content, lead gen forms, text ads, which are they're really, you know, text ads do super well on LinkedIn, and they're so simple and easy, and they're not too expensive, and now they, you know, they're offering the image kind of supplement to the text ad, and it's great looking fruit, and I think text ads is something that you can just get out there as you're always on, as part of your always on strategy, and it's just consistent. And you know that those actually, they provide really good return. In-mail being a little more expensive, but for in-mail being creative around what the call to action is on that. And now they're adding lead gen forms as part of in-mail. So a user could get a message on LinkedIn and fill out a lead gen form right there within the platform. And the lead gen forms, I mean, it's like the best thing they could do for higher ed, for really any of their clients, to keep a user in the platform as long as possible, because that's why they're there in the first place, right? They're on LinkedIn to network or to read content, and so make the experience even easier for your users and just have them fill out the form right there. Facebook, newsfeed, I mean, that's all traditional stuff. We should all be aware and familiar with those. Also the lead gen forms on Facebook, and then with Instagram. You know, Instagram for me is a brand play. It's awareness, visuals, videos, more high level awareness. It kills me softly when I see master's programs saying, fill out request info right now via this, your feed. Users really aren't doing that. So if you can use Instagram as a brand play and tie your KPIs to just total views or impressions or reach, I think that's a really kind of important part of the mix. Just think about tying Instagram to that instead of perhaps direct returns. Oh, and track everything. So we talked about UTM tags yesterday in a bunch of sessions. So just, that is like everyone should be tracking everything, especially for paid. And actually someone asked me if, I think it was, who asked me this? Chris, I think Chris Barrows asked me this. He said, do you track all your organic? We don't. I think that is incredibly daunting. And also, isn't really the goal of the kind of organic play. You know, yeah, we want to drive traffic to our website, but we're also creating this engaging experience within the platform. So our kind of rule is, okay, let's just track every single paid effort. And then if the organic is part of a larger campaign, then maybe we track that too, just to give the holistic experience of what that looked like across all channels. Okay, outline the plan. So for us, we sort of stole some media like flighting techniques that our agency does for us for other efforts like out of home, things like that. What we did was we kind of tailored it for social. So saying, okay, let's think about the next 6 months. Where are we inserting certain types of campaigns? So where are we putting in-mail? Where does that align? What are deadlines? When is there a particular event? And how can we tie our efforts to that? And I think this visual piece is really, it's really helpful. And we're not getting to the nitty-gritty of like content or creative here. It's just more around overview, strategy. This is what we're thinking. And ideally, you can take this and you can layer it on top of the rest of the media plan. So you can say, okay, they're also getting these other emails, or you know, they're getting a print piece in the mail or whatever. So you can just kind of layer it on top. But that way, we're also speaking the same language as some of our partners who are thinking about the larger kind of media strategy, and just how social can just kind of plop right in. Content and creative, like the most important thing, of course. But I think I mentioned this before, your content and creative has to align to your goals. That's very, very important, and it's really, really challenging. I think this is definitely the hardest part. You're thinking about awareness. You're thinking about overarching brand content. You're thinking about, okay, what do we have that just kind of illustrates the institution? So for us at Babson, we put a lot of efforts into larger brand campaigns, especially in key markets for us. So in those brand campaigns, it's overview. This is what Babson's about. Here are successful alumni, and here are some really cool videos that can illustrate that experience. So for example, one of our alumni founded Zumba, and so we have this awesome video of like people dancing. But I mean, that's perfect for social, right? It's from a Zumba perspective, great brand name for us to tie to. But we use this for overarching brand content awareness. This is who Babson is. Watch this great video. Our KPI for that is literally just views. And then hopefully down the line, we can also see referral traffic. But high level awareness first. As I mentioned, text ads before. But I think if you can be smart about how you're driving, bless you. You're welcome. Bless you twice. So regarding the retargeting efforts and the pixels, you know, if you can also get as many people to your site from some of these social efforts, such as for text ads, you know, you're getting more traffic to the site, and so therefore you're building up that audience that you'll be able to then use later, whether it's in a lookalike format or retargeting them directly. Lead gen. Make it worth it for a user, of course. There's also different schools of thought about lead gen. So I've heard some folks will say, use lead gen to actually fill out an RFI form, like request for information. That's what we want. But if you know, if you do have access to content like white papers or any kind of exclusive invitations, you know, this is a great way to do so as well. So we kind of have done a mixture of a few things. So we have a GMAT sample test questions program. So we're using that from a lead gen perspective. Okay, you know, fill out this form and you'll get special access to these questions. So trying to be exclusive for the user, but also, you know, pairing that perhaps with just a traditional request information for the college. Okay. Retargeting. You kind of know who these people are, so make it valuable to them to retarget to them. So for us, we've done a few different things, and actually shout out to Drew in the crowd from Babson as well, who helped with this. And you know, for this, thinking about, we know who these audiences are. Let's invite them to an event that's just for prospective students that they're probably getting an email about. So let's pair that with some of the social efforts. You know, again, as I mentioned before, the idea of, you know, learn more about this particular program that we offer because we know they went to a particular web page. Or you know that they didn't fill out your form on your site, so drive them to the form again. So using those pixels to determine exactly who the students slice and dice as it makes most sense for your programming. Budget, it's hard. So first, I mean, if you have any sort of history with advertising within your organization, like anyone, just you know your friends in the other schools, just learn how much they budgeted, but how much they actually spent in the end. Because I think for social especially, we tend to like over budget, and that scares our stakeholders sometimes. They're like, why do you need, you know, $100,000 for this one program? We actually end up spending less. So if you can find a way to really figure out what exactly the spend was, so you can be realistic about that. But if you have not spent anything, figure out the cost per lead for other marketing efforts and use that as a baseline. So if it's $200, your cost per lead for paid search for AdWords, perhaps you know use that as at least a baseline, and then that you can kind of calculate it from there. So you're doing a little messing around with numbers, but at least it's giving you a realistic, or giving your stakeholders a realistic idea of what you might actually spend. And then I say, you know, use that as baseline, but then it'll likely be cut in half, just given how the social networks are going to be more financially affordable than PPC. Oh, my general rule, spend more on LinkedIn, less on Facebook, but then at least on Instagram. Great. Okay, you're off, kind of. So weekly, evaluate your data, bring your team together, look at it, or just you, go into the tool. I mean, it's all there for you, but against your goals. Again, it can be very, very overwhelming. Don't get distracted by data. You know, just because it had a lot of comments doesn't mean it actually did well. So really, again, keep that in your head, what the actual goal is. And then integrate with other marketing activity. That's really, really important to look at the whole mix. Okay, partnering with your agency. So we provide a lot of value from the client side in terms of really understanding who our audience are. So I think as I mentioned before, what's really, really important is sharing what your audience does organically and what works really, really well for them or what they engage with the most. What is successful, what falls flat, because that might dictate, you know, the type of content that should be part of those paid efforts. Oh, if you can review all the creative that your agency's building for you, do. Just take an extra look. Drew's laughing. Because sometimes it's just so sad. But it's part of the problem is they don't speak your brand, really, right? If you have an agency that's worked with you for years and years and years, that's awesome. They probably speak your brand better. But not all do, and there's turnover, and it's challenging. So make sure to review all the ad creative, especially if you're responsible for the social media look and feel for your institution. Like, you better know what's going out via paid. Even if it's from, you know, your undergrad shop is doing their own ads, I mean, you're in the centralized marketing organization, like, find out what they are. Just, like, have an idea, maybe review them if you can. Push, so this is where the meme comes into play. Push your agency to report weekly. That's a lot of them have insight teams that hopefully they can put resources towards for you. So if you can do that together weekly and really push them, that means the most successful campaign for all. And then keep community management and monitoring in-house. Like, just make sure your team does it. Make sure all your systems are set up. So we use Meltwater, which is owns or bought Sprout Social to be integrated within the Meltwater tools. And, you know, we found out recently that there's a bug that some of our advertising engagements not showing up within Sprout Social. And we were like, no, wait, you know, that's so bad. You want to make sure that in-house you're monitoring, because who knows what the kind of questions that come in. And the chain of command from an agency monitoring all the way down to you to get answers to questions, it's too much. So keep that in-house. Last but not least, guiding principles. These are like overarching, feel-good stuff. Become best friends with your developers. Like, best friends, because they're the ones that are going to help make sure that your campaign, your tracking is successful. If they're not in your building, like, go and just stalk them and become friends with them, because their knowledge is going to be really important for your success. Also, become best friends with your platform reps, even if you use an agency. So for us, our LinkedIn reps are amazing and super helpful and, like, there for us. They're very, like, you know, emotional support a lot of times. And they might work with our agency, but they love meeting with the end client. So if you can get access to your reps, do it and you know, use them. And that way, too, from an organic perspective, you're going to learn. They're going to be on top of sharing what's happening organically quickly. So, okay, stay on top of platform changes. That's a no-brainer. That's why we're at conferences like this. Test, fail, try again. It's okay for something to not really do that well, because guess what? That means you probably didn't spend a lot of money on it, so you can reallocate that budget. Share your successes. Use your own word-of-mouth marketing internally. Talk about it. Make sure that, you know, your colleague in PR has a little soundbite of something you did so they can help kind of continue to educate your colleagues around social media advertising. And then, as I mentioned before, around knowing what's out there, if you are overseeing social media for your institution, find out what everyone's doing related to social media advertising. So whether that's in your, you know, if you have council, social media council meetings, make sure that everyone's very aware of how the brand is being portrayed in the social media world. And that's it. We'll take questions. I think we have a mic, which I got you.
Okay,
late.
We're gonna have a little bit shorter question at Q&A session this time, right here.
Vanessa, so spot on. I hope everybody's paying attention. I work at an agency. We have a couple universities, and literally everything you said is on point.
Cool.
So
Thanks. Thank
you, and great presentation.
Thanks.
We struggle with LinkedIn a little bit and getting it to perform from an ROI standpoint. So I wanted to understand how you're targeting on LinkedIn.
That's a good question. So we've been testing a few different things, especially with the list functionality. So, you know, we started with a lot of lists. We've been doing that. You know, with LinkedIn, we got into a point that we were targeting a little bit too much. But what we've learned is focusing on years of experience is actually like the best. It's like the best target to like demographic, you know, item when you're targeting, because that really tells you so much about the person. Because within that years of experience, you're able to identify, you know, how many jobs they have in their profile, perhaps what their age is. So you can't target by age as well, because sometimes people put the birthday and sometimes they don't. Especially on LinkedIn, they don't necessarily do that. So they base that on your years of experience from based on your profile positions. So I think that's really, really good. I think the retargeting will be pretty key on LinkedIn. For us, there's just a lot. We have quite a volume on LinkedIn, so we know that's going to be a good audience for us. So being able to retarget based on the pixel on our site. So I'm looking forward to that making an impact. Yeah, does that help a little bit? Yeah. A couple of things.
Vanessa, I just want to reiterate, sorry, and it's
like,
woo.
I was like, where did that come from?
What you said about, great presentation.
Thank you.
This was worth coming to the conference for, just this presentation. When you say that LinkedIn is a little more expensive than Facebook, what's a little more? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm very interested in using LinkedIn for some of our programs, like our master's degree. But the cost, when I've talked to the LinkedIn reps, it's kind of scared me away. So, you know, and then I keep getting these emails that say, here's $50 in free LinkedIn ads.
Yeah, but, like add up those coupons.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, now I have $250. But, you know, when I talk to them, it's like, well, you know, we don't really start working with anybody for under 10 grand or whatever. So, I mean, is there a lower tier that there's a secret here?
So I will say with the LinkedIn reps, I think, yeah, I mean, they're being measured based on the amount of business and their kind of in-kind work that they can do for you based on, you know, you're guaranteeing you're going to be spending like $100,000, $150,000, $200,000. For us, we just see that the cost per lead is higher on LinkedIn. I mean, that's sort of where it comes into play. But again, for us, when I say more qualified, we're actually making an assumption that they're more qualified. We haven't actually gone through and see what the enrollment numbers look like from the LinkedIn as like a original source, or the quality if they end up, you know, being really well. But it's the cost per lead just is higher for us. So that's kind of when I say we put a little more money into that, because I'm also seeing that, you know, that's where our audience is. But I mean, test it out. I mean, the LinkedIn reps might not help you originally, but it's a self-service platform. Right, so just go in there and like say, can I have $500 just to mess around with things? And that way you have some data to speak to. Right. So that's like that's the best advice I can give. But for us, it's just we see the total return is just higher.
Anybody else?
Hi. My name is Jordan. I also work at an agency here in Boston. I had a question about...
I'm like scared of this. Yeah, say anything bad about you?
Should I hold it a little farther away from my mouth? I had a question about the planning phase and how your agency kind of like enters into that or if they don't. Because I know that some provide more, you know, consulting services that are more part of the team and others kind of just execute strategy that's given to them.
It's been a mix of different things. So we actually owned all of our advertising in-house for a while. So that included all the planning. And we would just let them know. We'd say, I know you're doing the larger media plan, but this is what we're doing for social for the next 6 months or the next year. And they actually weren't part of our planning. This year, we switched the model. So we're having them plan, execute, you know, actually do everything. But we're part of all those planning conversations. And we're really reviewing like everything. So I will say that I think with our particular situation, the planning piece a little weaker for our agency. So they're more around like bottoms up approach, like drive leads, which is fine. But then therefore the content, the creative isn't actually in a place that we feel really comfortable with it. But if we could have that conversation from the beginning and just get in the room and just like map out some ideas and get them to understand what we're thinking about earlier on, I think it would have been a little more seamless a process from the execution. So, but yeah, in an ideal world, it's like they're planning our media and with that is social media, but having a little bit of an extra conversation beyond just, okay, here's your placements, we're gonna pump out the, you know, leads for you, more around, okay, what is the story we're trying to tell with it, so. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Is it? Okay, round of applause.